Hey, it's me again. I want to start with a little story that I guess is a little embarrassing for me, but I was a pretty shy kid growing up, and I had this teacher in fourth grade who, looking back, like it was a good teacher move. She was doing the right thing, trying to keep kids interested, but what she would do is anytime that we started to get tired, stop paying attention, she would make everybody, and I mean make, like it was mandatory, like we would stand up, she would start playing music, and then she would make us dance. Call it a dance break. It's an obvious name. But it, like, she truly, like, if you didn't do it, like, she would yell at you. And being a shy kid, I hated it. And so I looked for, like, every excuse in the book to get out of it. I used too many, like, nurse passes. I considered at one point seeing if I could, like, injure my leg bad enough that I didn't have to dance, but that I could keep playing, like, stuff like soccer. At one point, I was like, can I literally just, like, melt into the floor so that nobody can see me? Like, I really hated it. Until one week, I realized that the projector screen that was in the corner that all of our, like, slideshows and stuff would go on went pretty much down to the floor. And so I kind of walked over, and I pulled it back, and I stepped behind it, and I realized she couldn't see me anymore, which was cool until I realized that I was not alone back there. There was actually already another kid standing behind the projector screen. It was the new kid in class. His name was Ryan. And we got to talking, as you do when you're two dudes standing behind a projector screen, and I found out that we actually had a lot in common. We both hated dancing, we were both super into the show Naruto, and we both played World of Warcraft, so we were the cool kids who managed to find each other behind the projector screen. Why am I telling you about my buddy Ryan? Well, I think it's to say that even random encounters, ones that we're not expecting, have the chance to completely change our lives, because at the end of the day, Ryan was not just some dude that I met behind a projector and we had an awkward encounter and then we moved on. No, Ryan actually became like my best friend. Ryan's family is the first people who brought me to a church. Ryan and I did everything together. At one point, we even dated sisters, which I would not really recommend. But like our lives revolved around each other. We became super inseparable. He was the best man at my wedding. So at the end of the day, even when it's unexpected, like encounters really do change us, or certain ones at least can. I did not expect to meet my best friend in that moment, but like my life looks totally different after having met Ryan. And I'm gonna guess that like at this point, because we're all in college now, you've had some kind of similar encounter. Maybe you didn't go and find your best friend behind a projector screen, but you've walked into an encounter one way and then left a different way. Be that thinking differently, be that spending time around different people or spending your time in different ways or just different. Maybe you had an encounter with somebody where you realized you wanted to be more than friends, or maybe you had an encounter with somebody where you learned a hard lesson and you started thinking or acting or treating people differently, or maybe you had an encounter with a teacher where you're like, man, that's it, like that's my major, that's what I'm gonna do. Whatever that encounter is, I think that they have the possibility to leave us changed. And you know who seemed to have those encounters like literally all the time? It was Jesus. But Jesus was not actually the one in these encounters being changed, but it was like everybody who seemed to come into contact with Jesus like left as a different person. It was happening like all over the Bible. Whether it was because of something he said to them, or a question he asked them, or the way he treated them, or a miracle he performed in front of them, like people were changing after encounters with Jesus like all the time. And so we're gonna just look at those this summer. We're gonna spend the next 3 weeks just picking an encounter each week, usually out of the Gospel of John, and we're just gonna look at it. We're gonna see what Jesus said to these people, what changed about their life. And then I think we're gonna find something cool, because I think when we study encounters that Jesus had, we actually kind of end up having an encounter with him ourselves. And so I think that if we come in with an open mind, I think we're gonna see that there's a lot for us in these encounters with Jesus. And we might end up seeing that we're kind of face to face with Jesus too. So we're gonna start with a story that begins a little bit after Jesus' public ministry. So at this point, he has gone around, and he is recruiting disciples to follow him, which is a really weird concept for us, because like we don't have people who follow us. If we do, it's like in a social media context. But in this context, it was really normal for Jewish rabbis, which just means teacher, which Jesus was one, for rabbis to go and find disciples. And these disciples were basically just students of these teachers, and they would follow them around, and they would study like the way that they talk and the things they do and the places they go and the way that they treat people there. And so Jesus at this point has asked a couple guys to come and follow him, and then he gets around to asking this guy named Philip. But Philip's actually not the encounter that we're going to look at. I want to look at Philip's friend Nathanael. I'm going to start in John 1, verse 43. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, those guys that he's already called to follow him, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. So we have Jesus inviting Philip to come and follow him, to come be a disciple. And Philip seems down, like really doesn't even ask any questions as far as we know. Like he's just like, yeah, sure, cool. Let me go get my buddy Nathanael. And so then he goes to Nathanael and he's like, dude, we found him. We found the guy that we've been waiting for. And he uses some language there. He talks about, you know, Moses and the prophets, you know, prophesying this guy would be coming. And what he's talking about there is ultimately Israel, these people who have been following the God of the Bible. They were promised that there would someday be a king over Israel, that he would be the son of God and that he would come and reign forever, because there have been some good kings of Israel and some bad kings of Israel, but ultimately the problem is that they died. And so they were promised that there would be this king that would come and reign forever. And so that's who these guys are like waiting for. That's what he's talking about here. And notice Nathanael's response. Ultimately, it's kind of negative, but it isn't like, man, who wants a king? Or like, why would I care about that? No, it's actually just one of doubt. It's king, great, cool, I'm on board with the concept. We'll actually see later that Nathanael gets really excited at the idea that Jesus might be this guy that they've been waiting for. But his doubt is, can Jesus be that guy? Can a king actually come from Nazareth? So I think at the end of the day, like Nathanael is looking for something. He wants this king, but he just isn't convinced that it's Jesus. So I think that's kind of where we start to see ourselves in this story. In a room this size and with faces that are new, I don't know what brought you here tonight. Some of you just finished high school, and so this is your first time at a college ministry, and maybe you're going to be with us all year because you're sticking around Columbia, or maybe you're kind of just dipping your toes in and seeing what college ministry is like before you move somewhere else, or maybe you got brought by a friend tonight, or maybe you have been kind of coming with friends throughout the semester, but they're gone for the summer, and so tonight is your first time here alone, or maybe you go to a different school and you're back and you're just trying to meet people. Like, whatever you're doing here, whether you showed up so excited, you've been like anxiously waiting for Veritas to start, or you decided like, I don't know what at this point, like 30 minutes ago to show up tonight, wherever you're coming from and whatever you're coming in feeling tonight, I'm really, really glad that you're here. Because I think whether we know it or not, whether it's like front of mind or it's somewhere a little bit farther back there, I think that we are all looking for something. I think we're all looking for something. If you're one of those people who is starting this exciting new chapter in life, you're getting ready to go off to college for the first time, you probably have all sorts of questions about who you're going to be, kind of person you want to become, what you're going to do with your life, who you want to spend your time around, how you view yourself, how you want others to view you. There are so many questions that you're looking for guidance and answers on. Some of you are probably having a really awesome summer. Some of you are just having the time of your life. You got that internship you wanted. All your buddies are around. You've been at the pool like literally all the time. Like you're having a great summer. And so you're just here looking for, I don't know, something to do on a Tuesday night. Or maybe you're just looking to meet more people. I'd also venture to say that there are probably some of you who are having a not so great summer so far. Maybe you're lonely, maybe you're anxious, maybe the people that you usually spend time with aren't here, or maybe you're disappointed that you're in Columbia this summer. Maybe you did not get that internship that you really wanted, or you're working a job you were excited about that has not turned out so great, or maybe your friends are off doing things that are like way more exciting than what you're getting to do. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're looking for, I think ultimately the question is, does Jesus have it? Am I going to find that thing here? We're asking that same question that Nathanael is asking, is can I find what I am looking for here? But I think ultimately, like Nathanael too, we have things that kind of keep us from going to Jesus and asking him if he has that thing, that keep us from being interested in Jesus and seeing if he actually has those answers. It's kind of a silly example, but I remember the first time I heard about Jesus, I was like, I don't know, like 7 or 8. And I had this neighbor, our backyards kind of butted up against each other, and he had like the Mercedes of swing sets. It had swings, it had this like super fast slide. I don't know how it got going that fast, but you would like fly down that thing, and then it had a sandbox underneath. And it's like, we're hanging out, we're talking, and at one point I just remember, like, they were Catholic and he just mentioned Jesus, and I did not grow up in church, and so I was like, who's Jesus? I don't know, 7-year-old, I've never seen somebody that surprised. He was like, what do you mean you don't know who Jesus is? I was like, I haven't heard of him. He's like, dude, that's the Son of God. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't get to go to heaven. It's like, man, it sounds like it's a problem, but I don't actually even know what you're talking about. Like, what's heaven? He's like, well, heaven, it's this place where you go and you spend eternity with Jesus. It's after you die and you get to live forever, but while you're there, you end up just singing to Jesus. Like, that's what we do. We worship Jesus. I was like, oh, we sing to Jesus. I don't know if you guys remember. I didn't like dancing. I like singing even less. So I was like, you're really not selling me. I was like, what else do we get to do? He's like, I don't know. It's like, what? He's like, yeah, I think we just kind of worship Jesus. But don't worry, because my priest told me that we end up really liking it. Like, we have a really good time doing it. I was like, dude, I don't think that sounds very good. You're telling me that I need to go to church and start following this Jesus guy so that I can spend eternity, which is like a crazy concept for a 7-year-old, singing to a guy that I don't know? Sounds horrible. Kind of silly, but like, to be honest, it really did keep me from being interested in Jesus for a while. Anytime his name came up, I was like, pass. Like, just in one ear, out the other. So while that's a silly example, I kind of want to flip the question to you, because I think at the end of the day, we probably all have assumptions about Jesus. We have a picture of him, something we think is true of him. And maybe that for you is negative. Maybe for you it's like mine, where you just think Jesus is boring. He's just going to take all the things that you like doing and tell you to stop doing them. Or he's going to take them and he's going to put all these rules on them. Jesus is just the rule guy. Or maybe Jesus isn't just boring in your eyes. Maybe Jesus is kind of bad. Maybe Jesus is offensive. Jesus is the guy who says really outdated things and whose followers are rude or hateful or hypocritical. Or maybe for you, Jesus is just kind of irrelevant. At the end of the day, like, I've been living and I'm doing okay, and why start following him now? What does Jesus have for me? Maybe Jesus is positive in your brain. Maybe Jesus is the guy who, if you ask him the right way, he gives you whatever it is that you're looking for. Or maybe you've just been to church a lot and you're like, I kind of know Jesus. I like him. I might keep going to church, but at the end of the day, like, I've heard the stories. I know what Jesus says. I know what he's about. I'm good. So I think at the end of the day, like, we all have a box that Jesus fits into in our brain. And whether that box is positive or it's negative, we kind of think we know him. We think we know what he says. We think we know what he's like, what he wants for our life, what it means to follow him. But here's the thing. Nathaniel also thought that he knew Jesus. And he wasn't really interested. He wasn't buying it. But then Philip says, come and see. I know what you think about the guy, but just come and meet him. So back to the verses, starting up in verse 48 now. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Just kind of a crazy thing to say about a guy who does not seem to like Jesus. Really gracious. He says, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So Nathanael, he comes to Jesus skeptical, full of reasons why Jesus is not the guy that he's actually looking for. And what does Jesus do? Well, he gives him this like really weird kind of vague allusion to something that happened under a fig tree. And to be honest, we don't know more than that. The Bible really doesn't tell us what was going on there. But Jesus knows about it, and Nathanael knows about it. And whatever it was that Jesus saw Nathanael doing under that fig tree, it was enough for Nathanael. It was proof to him. It changed his mind. He said, man, Jesus, you really are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He went from skeptic to like full believer in an instant because of what Jesus showed him. It's like, what actually happened there? Well, I think, you know, Nathanael answered the call. He answered the call to come and see. He put his assumptions about Jesus aside long enough to go and meet the guy. And then when he ended up face to face with him, there was no denying it. Jesus was exactly who he was looking for. He realized that he had been wrong. And I think that's kind of the thing about Jesus, is we all have these boxes we put him in. We all have these pictures of him. We all have these things that we're like pretty sure are true of him. until we meet him, until we have an honest encounter with him and we listen to what he says about himself and we look at the things that he does. And then that box, it gets blown up. Another childhood story, I don't know why I have so many of these in here, but in high school, I remember things were kind of dark for our family for a while there. We had a couple tragedies happen all in a row, people getting sick or passing away. I was facing some bullying in school that resulted in me having kind of an unhealthy relationship with exercise and food, and it was just a really hard time, and I felt really alone in a lot of it. I had friends, but like they weren't equipped to handle any of that, and I really just didn't know where to go. I had a lot of really hard questions about life. Like, man, why are we doing this? Like, this is really hard. Does anybody care? And I had this friend who kept inviting me to his high school youth group. And I had been to church throughout middle school, but it was kind of a stuffy church and really didn't get a lot out of it. So I had this friend who kept inviting me to this youth group. And I was like, dude, I'm like not interested in this Jesus guy. And like, why do you keep bothering me about it? Like, I've got stuff going on, dude. Like, I'm going through it. Like, leave me alone. Until he finally is like, yeah, man, that's why I'm inviting you. That's why I want you to come and meet Jesus, is because I think he actually has something to say about what you're going through. And so I eventually worked up the courage, put some of my doubt, my frustration aside, and I went, and I encountered Jesus. It wasn't instantaneous. I'm not gonna lie and say that it was this awesome lightning bolt moment where I was like, great, Jesus, let's go. But it was a moment where I came honestly, and I started listening to Jesus. I started reading the Bible more, and I started sitting under teaching, and I started talking to friends about him, and I started to realize, like, man, Jesus really does get it. I am going through so much pain, and I am looking for answers, and Jesus has them. Jesus was God who came down into the mud with us. He became a man, and he suffered on our behalf, so, like, he knows the pain. But he didn't just suffer. Like, he promised to be with us in the suffering. He promised to give us his spirit so that we could walk and have him always with us. And then he promised to come back someday and fix all of it. So, like, everything that I had been looking for, I found in Jesus. But I would not have if I didn't give him a fair chance. My prayer, my hope, my expectation even, is that you could have a similar experience this summer. By looking at some of the encounters that Jesus had, we end up encountering him too, and my prayer is just that you would come back and that you would encounter Jesus and that you would start to see that whatever you are looking for, Jesus has. If you're looking for the right things, Jesus will delight to give it to you. And if you're looking for the wrong things, I think it is fair to say, like, Jesus is more than those things. Jesus is more powerful, he's more joyful, he is more satisfying. Jesus wants the best for you. But ultimately, Jesus is that best thing. Jesus is what is best for you, and he is what you are looking for. But ultimately, that encounter, it wasn't just a one-time thing, and Jesus doesn't expect our encounters with him to be either. How does he respond to Nathanael? Last verse we're going to look at is verse 50. This is after Nathanael has come to him, and he's like, dude, Jesus, you are the guy. You're totally right. I see it now. Jesus' response, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Don't get hung up on that last bit. That's biblical, that's poetic language, that's a really specific vision that Jesus is referencing. But his point here is that Nathanael, he's had his mind changed. And that's awesome. Like, that encounter with Jesus was powerful enough to change his mind. He sees Jesus in a totally new light and he got what he was looking for. But Jesus says, hey man, if you follow me, if you don't just leave this at one encounter, but if you actually come and follow me, you're gonna see way more than this. It's not just gonna be this, you're going to see that I am more beautiful, more powerful, more amazing than you ever could have imagined. Because I think ultimately Jesus is not just interested in changing our minds. This wasn't a rebuke, this was an invitation into a relationship with him. He's not saying, Nathanael, man, how dare you say that you get it? He's saying, no, dude, I want you to get it even more. I want you to come into a relationship with me because I'm not just interested in changing your mind about who I am so that you can go live your life with a different perspective of me. He says, I want to change your life. I want to turn you into a completely new person. I want you to commit to following me. So I think that's what Jesus wants for us too. He wants us to come and have this encounter. He wants us to put our doubt and our reservation and maybe our frustration aside long enough to encounter him honestly. But then he wants us to encounter him over and over and over again. He wants us to enter into a relationship. I think like Nathaniel, we get to have that powerful encounter with Jesus when we look at his word. We learn to listen to him, we learn who he is, and then we learn ultimately to love him. So, music team, you guys can go ahead and come back up. I want to end with just kind of a simple question. How can you start to find this summer? If you're looking for something, if you're interested in having your life change, how can you start to find that this summer? And I think it's a really easy answer, to be honest. We don't get these often when it comes to the Bible, but come back. Just come back as we continue to encounter Jesus, as we look at these encounters, as we learn from him. Come back. Have another encounter with him. And I'm not saying that you have to put all of your doubts aside. I'm not saying that you have to completely change what you think about Jesus. He does not expect that. This stuff is not immediate. My relationship with Ryan did not change overnight. We found each other and we had that encounter, but then it was years of relationship that turned us into the best friends that we became. And it was only by following Jesus over and over and over again did Nathaniel have his life changed. And so come back. Come have another encounter with Jesus. Give it time. Don't expect your life to just be different instantaneously, but we can expect that Jesus will change our lives. Put your assumptions aside and come encounter Jesus. If you've tuned me out at this point, that's fine. I'm not offended, but like tune back in because this is the most important thing I'm going to say. It is okay to be in process here. Jesus is okay if you're still frustrated at him. He's okay if you still have questions about him. He's okay if you don't even like him. But just continue to come back. Be here next week when we look at another encounter, and we learn more about Jesus. Because at the end of the day, I think what we're gonna find is that he is bigger and he is better and he is more beautiful than whatever we think about him. So the question for us is just simply like, are we going to let Jesus push on what we think of him? Because he will. If we come and we look at Jesus for who he really is, it is going to challenge us. But the question for us is just simply, will we? Will we let him? Are we interested enough? Are we willing to admit that we are looking for something and come see if Jesus actually has it? So come back and discover what Jesus wants for you, for who he truly is. And I really think that if you do, you will never be the same. I want to end by just praying that that would be true of us. If you could bow your heads. Jesus, man, it is hard. It is hard because we want so many things. We have questions about who we are. We have questions about what we want out of life. We want community. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to make friends, and we want to have purpose in life. Jesus, it's hard to know where to turn for those things, but ultimately, when we look at your word, we see that you have all of them for us. And there's a lot of things in the way, Jesus. There's a lot of people out there making a mess of your name. There's a lot of questions that we have, and we're not quite sure if you have the answers. There's a lot of things that we maybe think about you that might not be true or fair. But at the end of the day, Jesus, all we ask is that you just bring us back. That you just give us grace for when we're unfair to you. We thank you for the fact that you love us and that you desire a relationship with us. Even when we are off, completely separate from you, even when we want nothing to do with you, you want everything to do with us, Jesus. So we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.